Hey everyone, coming up we are going to discuss with you a celebration of Mr. Potter. Also, we're going to be talking about the Comcast land purchase that just happened, a little bit of Universal Mardi Gras, and the Hard Rock Hotel. So all of that live from the Bob Varley studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. Now, this is normally the part that I would cut to music.
I was going to ask if you wanted me to beatbox for you.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and beatbox.
Siri can do it. You want me to ask her?
Yeah, let's do that.
Siri, can you beatbox for me?
Here's one. I've been practicing boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots.
This is episode 73 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition.
Cats and boots and cats and boots and cats.
The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. So, of course, this is really awkward, especially for the people out there who are watching and not listening. I am your host, Craig Williams. Literally minutes before the show started, I was ejecting my hard drive that has all the files on that we needed for the show. And of course, whenever I went to plug it back in, it's no longer worked. So just right before we started, we lost our intro, our outro, some buzz stuff in another video that was going to play. So I do apologize for the unprofessionalism that's happening here right now, but we're gonna push through it anyways and try to have a decent episode. So again, I am your host, Craig Williams, and joined at the table today right now. It might be weird that I am back here, but that is because I have Rhino Clavin at the table. He's going to be talking about his celebration of Harry Potter coverage.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've never sat in this chair before, so it's weird. This is the first time I've ever looked right at this window behind me, thing right in front of me. It's exhilarating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it absolutely is. Yeah. So I know what you guys are thinking. Where is JL? Especially if you already watched today's Daily Fix that went out. Unfortunately, one of JL's children ended up being sick. And right whenever we were getting ready to start the Daily Fix, so she had to do that and then take off and leave. So so that's why we are one short for the second week in a row. So we did debate just going crazy at the last second, and instead of doing the coverage that we were going to do, go into the second annual Crino Awards.
Back by popular demand, week number two.
Yes.
Of the Crino Awards. In fact, we are rebranding this podcast.
Yeah, we might as well just make it the Diz Unplugged Crino Edition.
We'll just keep handing out awards to anything that we want the entire time. Crino Award for the best sandwich of the day goes to me, because I made it.
Yeah, I did not make it. I had an apple. We don't know the type of apple, but I did have an apple, an orange, and some delicious Triscuit crackers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that has been your Crino Awards for today.
People were requesting the child catcher video, but unfortunately, that went with the hard drive.
Yeah, the funny part for me is actually that we had something even better than the child catcher video today.
Yeah.
And it was just one of the things lost. I mean, if Rhino talks long enough, it might still happen.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, I can ramble for you.
It would take a little bit of rambling. But no, so yes, the child catcher. It was a really big mistake that happened in
children.
The middle of it.
Children! I don't want to see myself while I make these weird noises, but
well,
I guess that's what the rest of the world has to deal with. So
yeah, that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
So of course, yeah, we have a really, really big episode for you today. I don't think it's that big. I don't think it even matters
oversold
anymore.
It.
Yeah. No, it really doesn't. This is a mediocre filler episode in which Rhino's going to just talk about his weekend that he had at the celebration of Harry Potter, which wasn't even a full weekend. So I don't want to use that term too strictly, but he's going to be bringing his coverage, but there is some big news items that are buzzing right now. Yes, absolutely. There are some big news items that are buzzing right now. I don't. I'm just going to have to interrupt everything right now for a second. Everything just kind of feels off because we didn't start with music.
Right? I feel like we're still in the teaser and we're just like, you know, like when you watch a show, like this happens on like Flash or Arrow for me a lot. Like I'll get and I'll be like, oh, they're not doing the teaser today. And then it cuts to the bump, 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 bump. And I'm almost like, oh, that was a really long, long introduction. There's a movie that does that too. Was that Serenity? The opening of that movie, it's like that whole scene where they're breaking River out of jail, and then finally you're like, that was just the beginning of the movie?
I mean, there's a lot of movies that do that, where it takes like 20 minutes to get into the actual opening credits, and I hate that. Yeah. I just don't like it. So we promise that this isn't like a joke. All of a sudden, we're just going to have it go up, and then it's going to start. That's not happening here. We're just going to have to fight through this awkwardness that we're feeling. So, we are going to talk about what's buzzing here first. And honestly, the first thing that is buzzing today, well, not today, it already happened, but I'm talking about the confirmation that Comcast did purchase adjacent land to Universal Studios or Universal Orlando Resort for $100 resort.
Resort. It's a wonderful dessert type of a feeling.
It's the resort. They bought it for $130 million and got over 400 or just right at 475 acres of untarnished land in the great land of International Drive.
Okay, I know there was a map on there, and it's bad of me to question the map, but I'm wondering, like, are you able to, like, maybe Google that while I ask you a question really quick? Because I'm just wondering, like, in relation to where the two parks currently exist with CityWalk and their hotels, where is this 475 acres? Like, will this mean that, is it going to become, like, a Disney World situation where, like, none of the parks are really actually right next to each other? Or is it going to be, are they going to stay in line with the how they have it right now, where it's walkable distance from studios to Islands of Adventure and CityWalk? Because I feel like that's kind of Universal's like their thing, is that everything's walkable for them. I don't know if that intentionally is their thing or not. You're just gonna let me keep going, huh? Mm-hmm. But you know, for those of you who have never been, you can walk to practically everything there.
No, I'm right there with you. So from what I understand, this is supposed to be roughly the land that was purchased. So, of course, you can see on the bottom you have Universal Boulevard right down below. Sand Lake Road is kind of cutting right up to the top of some of the land. So not that far down, actually, from Universal in all aspects.
Wait, so Universal is the top left corner. Is that one with the road around it, right?
That's right where Universal would be, a little bit up outside of the picture of this screen. You can't see Universal Orlando, obviously, in this exact section, but Universal is just up there. So another theory and thought into it is Wet n Wild isn't that far away, actually, from this area. So once Wet n Wild's closed and completely demolished, since it's no longer going to be used anymore, it's almost like they're going to start playing a game bounce too, from here and there to there and here and all that. And so you know, and this is all just from what I understand in this whole game of Universal. So I don't think that, honestly, it's out of the question to say, oh, you know, you couldn't walk to that new section. I mean, if you're athletic, fit enough, yeah, you could. I'm sure they will devise some sort of transportation, whether it be buses or buses again, or a tram car monorail style type thing.
Well, what was the original, the person put out that said, like, it was enough land to build how many? It was like two parks, right? Or one park and like three hotels or something? I can't remember.
No, I think that was
originally.
All. I don't know if anyone said anything originally. I thought it was all just speculation based on the land that's being used for stuff like Disney World already and Universal, how much you could actually fit in that area. I could be absolutely 100% wrong on this.
So here's my thing. Do you think that they'll announce the
whatever it is. Let's just assume it's a theme park for right now. No, we don't know that for sure, but I'm just going to go on that assumption train. Do you think that they're going to try and make a theme park that will open the same time that the Star Wars expansion opens at Hollywood Studios? Do you think they're trying to do that whole, like, we've been bouncing up higher and over everything that Disney does, and now this is our next step in that phase of what they're trying to do?
No, I don't think they're going to do that, because I don't think it's even possible for them to get
something open
before. Yeah, even if they play out the contract saying that they wanted a park to open up by this point in time and let the construction companies start bidding on it, I just don't think that anything would go through with it. They have to have plans somewhere out there for what they would do with this land. It can't just be like a complete surprise, like, oh, you know, we don't know what we're going to do, but now that we know we have land, we're going to do something with it. They have to know what they want to do. It's just in terms of a timeline, I don't see that likely. Again, I might be somewhat of an expert on Universal Orlando, but I don't follow the whole rumors and, you know, try to get information from people who work in important places in terms of Universal. I don't try to go searching down answers for them to what the future of Universal is going to be.
I just wait for the announcement. I'm one of those people where I'm just like, people can play imagination all they want. And I guess we do work for a website that is something that people want to know. Like, we can speculate all day, but until somebody even – and sometimes I don't even like finding the leaked information. You know what I mean? Because then you get your hopes set in one direction, and then something can come out completely different.
Exactly. As much as I do, if it's big enough that it can pass my radar – yes, I will, but I don't actively spend my nights searching for what's going to happen. I know, I think I've seen stuff on Twitter that people are already saying that they know everything that's going to happen, and you know what, if they do, then that's great for them, but I like a little bit of the mystery with it. It's going to make exciting whenever, it's going to make things a little bit more exciting than whenever everything does end up coming out, so I'm just glad that Comcast was able. I mean, granted, they still didn't even come out and make it. I guess it was part of the earnings call, I want to say.
Oh, so they haven't officially, like, it was just one of those, like, we said something again by accident. Like what they did before with the Fast and the Furious. And, like, Michelle Rodriguez, was she the one who said it? She said, like, and when it comes to Orlando, and then they were like, no.
Yeah, in that low. So it says,
you're terrible.
So I'm reading this one off of Biz Journals because that was the first article that I really caught whenever this all came off with Richard. I've met him before. I feel awful that I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Bilbao?
I believe it's pronounced Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, just a little bit off from there. But he wrote, while the theme park company has been silent on these rumors, Comcast Corporation executives announced a land buy in today's year-end 2015 earnings call. So the call that happened on February 3rd, it did that. And, you know, we have done stories in the past, too. I can't remember. Oh, it was Kong. It was Kong whenever we listened to the earnings call and they said all the brand new attractions that they're going to keep expanding at a historic pace, including the Kong attraction that's coming. So, yeah, they've done this before, so, you know, it's not out of the question, but I'm just glad that we know that there was the land purchase did happen, and it should make for an exciting future for everyone who is a fan of Universal.
Yeah, it's one of those great things about Universal. It's just you just now there's so much excitement for what's next, and I like that they've kind of like pumped that idea in there. Where sometimes I feel like at Disney people get like afraid of what's next because they don't want to lose what they've loved for so long. But here it's kind of different. Like, we don't even know what they could do. For all we know, they could end up demolishing the two parking garages, building the park so everything touches right there. And then that other land is for the overflow of the cars or, like, whatever. I don't know. But then right there, I just did it. Imagination.
You know, I don't know if they would build on that, the parking garage land, just because I've heard stuff before about the parking garages are starting to – one of them is starting to sink a little bit.
Oh, God, no. That's scary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the problem with Florida. It's sinkholes everywhere.
I was walking the other day, and I was like, this ground is giving under my feet a little bit more than it used to. I'm a little nervous over here.
Yeah, every time I feel like I can be okay with sinkholes, then I watch the video of the girl that was in, like, Winter Park or whatever that just fell through a sinkhole, and...
Did that happen recently?
It was a long time ago.
Oh, well, because I know Winter Park has one of the largest sinkholes in Florida. Is there, because I went to the city permit building and they have like the framed photo, like sky view of it, and it shows like where the sinkhole opened up, and it's this massive like building hole.
Yeah. I think there's nothing more fitting for Orlando that the entire place is just like a sinkhole. Because it's like metaphorically and literally.
Yeah. It's just America's sinkhole. It literally just pulls in everything down here. Like, but you know, if you ever hear your windows breaking, get out of your house. Leave. Because that is the foundation of your house sinking into the ground.
Run. Sinkholes, people. They're a real problem.
I think we know the outro now.
Yes. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what else we'll get to. In other news, where I'm going to jump around a little bit from my original plan because, well, you know, we don't have the graphics that go along with it or anything, so we can do whatever we really want to. So, for fans of Hard Rock Hotel, and if you did pay attention to our Universal 7 and 7, well, no, it wasn't a 7 and 7. It was our Land Sea. That's what we did. Our Land Sea coverage back in May of 2015. You'll know that whenever we went over Hard Rock Hotel, one of the things that we did say was that, you know, despite the thoughts on the new rooms that were refurbished and that Pete stayed in during that one, I think one thing that we agreed on, all of us unanimously, is that we absolutely loved the hotel for all the props and everything, all the memorabilia. I shouldn't say props, not like it's in a movie, but all the memorabilia that's just completely littered all the way through the hotel. Some of the coolest things that are from actual musicians that they were allowed to put into the hotel to do it, to make it, spruce it up a little bit, make it a little bit more unique. And so Universal and always wanting to keep things fresh, keep things different, and I guess Lowe's Hotel in this case, because they're the ones who are not, they are operating the hotel, not owning it, but they have started to go through a reimagining with a lot of the memorabilia. Yeah. I already forgot the word. Go. They're starting to go through a change with all the memorabilia inside and completely starting to change stuff out and make it a new experience for people who haven't been to the hotel in a while, or people who do travel often and they're sick of seeing the same stuff over and over again. They're now going to get a glimpse at some new things that technically weren't there before the last time, which I think is absolutely great that they're keeping it up and they're not just letting it become a museum for all these old memorabilia things.
I agree completely. I like that you can go, you can keep going and be like, this wasn't here last time, this is new. I don't know, just keeps it all fresh and it keeps it relevant. It makes it feel like, okay, the Hard Rock is a part of this flowing like industry. I don't know if industry was the right word, but it's just, it doesn't make it feel like it's an isolated, like, okay, it's just a gimmick. It feels like, okay, I'm here and this is relevant. No, so.
That's an interesting viewpoint of it.
Is it?
No, absolutely not. But, you know, they did release a really cool video that kind of showed their main Elvis window that they had that was right beside, like, Velvet Bar on.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of the lobby.
You can catch that specific Elvis window in the Hard Rock Overview video. I know I specifically added that in there because I love Elvis and so do you. So
yes, but unfortunately no more. You will not see Elvis in there. So they released this video.
What are we going
to
see?
Well, I'll show it to you now. It's a little time lapse of them redoing the video. So okay. It'll throw in something to get rid of all this awkwardness that's been happening the entire time. For you that are watching or listening, you'll hear this. You'll see this in the show notes. Why did I just say everything backwards there?
Is there no audio?
Oh yeah, there's audio.
Oh, I can't hear it. Okay.
You can't hear.
Sorry,
it.
I'm just running
over it. So now we're just speaking over it. So there you go. I believe that was it ended up being a new joint.
Who are the? Does it say who the?
Well, on the left, it was a costume, I believe, from John Lennon from A Hard Day's Night, the movie.
Okay.
And I believe it was John Lennon. I can't remember exactly if it was him or if it was Paul McCartney. I know it was one of the two of them. I want to believe John. And then on the right was a Mick Jagger costume.
Yes. Do we know what happened to the Elvis stuff?
I believe Elvis came back from the dead and reclaimed it.
In Bubba Hotep style?
Unless he was never truly dead. In which case...
Well, that would be Bubba Hotep style.
Yes.
One can dream that that movie is actually based in reality. And all Bruce Campbell movies are, as I like to believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, I know that was just a little weird, a little random, but yeah, it happened. It just happened.
Ow. I just hit the table. I apologize.
You did just hit the table. So, closing out the buzz, I guess we are going to go in and talk about Mardi Gras since it's coming up this weekend.
Paul Feig, the director of the Ghostbusters movie coming out, he liked a tweet. I tweeted to him this morning. I don't know if you're interested in that. It's semi-universal related because of Ghostbusters.
Okay, go on. I'm interested now.
So yesterday I was just thinking they had released, or like 2 days ago they released those more cast pictures, and I'm thinking like it's February and that movie's supposed to come out in May. Where's the trailer? Like, come on. And anybody who knows me like knows my unhealthy Power Ranger obsession, but before Power Rangers it was Ghostbusters. And I still love Ghostbusters, but so like when I was a kid, that was my thing. Well, I guess I was like a young kid because Power Rangers started when I was like 8. But so I tweeted at him and I was like, listen, I said, I need to know when we're getting that trailer because I need it in my life or whatever. And then literally like 30 minutes before I had done that, there was a news story that said he had just said that the trailer was coming out. And I learned it by looking at his Twitter, and he had just tweeted out right before that it was coming out by the end of the month. And so then I retweeted his tweet and said, probably should have actually read this before I tweeted at you the first time. And then he liked that.
Oh.
And so that made my day. Sabrina, the teenage witch's science teacher, liked one of my tweets.
Yeah, I believe more people know him for Heavyweights.
Is he in the movie or did he direct it?
He's in the movie. He is the skinny counselor that used to be fat, but then he lost a bunch of weight, but he still comes back.
Oh, see, I think you're thinking of Ben Stiller.
No, Ben Stiller bought the camp so he could run the Perka system.
Was he thin and then fat? Is that the one with the gym and Vince Vaughn?
Yes, that would be Dodgeball.
Was he also fat in Heavyweights at one point? Or does he just not like the fat people?
No, he used to be fat, and he lost a lot of weight, and so then he decides that he's going to run the Perka system, his way of losing weight.
I'm remembering, like, as we've talked about it more, like, the memories have started fading back in, and now that you say that, like, now I remember him in that movie.
Yes, I just want to point out that Heavyweights is not a Universal film. This is a Disney classic, one, yeah. Produced by Judd Apatow.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not a directorial effort, but
no,
produced, but yeah. Anyway, I thought that was fun. That was cool. Maybe my hope is that this movie does so well that perhaps they'll bring back some Ghostbuster stuff into Universal.
Or we'll get a sequel to Heavyweights.
One of the two. I'd be happy with either.
Yes. So that had nothing to do with anything, really. Let's be fair.
No, it didn't.
Let's be fair. It had nothing to do with anything.
I thought you were trying to do something.
But
I was excited.
No, I'm very happy that you were excited in those Ghostbuster news. The last thing I do, of course, as I already said 5 minutes ago, whenever we originally started to talk about this, was Mardi Gras coming up this weekend. This weekend, it's happening on Saturday for all y'all out there who are planning on coming. If you're going to show up on Friday,
don't. I guarantee.
Exactly. Yeah, just step on back. It's not happening on Friday. It's happening on Saturday, kicking off with Hunter Hayes, who I think we might have talked about him whenever we announced the lineup of everyone that was going to be there. Still don't have any idea who he is. Don't really care. Hopefully we're going to be able to go this Saturday to check out some of the new floats that were added to the parade. I know I'm very excited about that because the parade is actually my favorite part of Mardi Gras. You know, it's very different from what I know of the real Mardi Gras, but I think it's one of my favorite parades in Orlando that actually happens ever. It's pretty good stuff. And so, yeah, that was kind of a shameless plug for us, really, saying that if we end up going on Saturday night, if it doesn't rain, then watch out for our coverage there. So I know you're ready to go get some beignets.
And some
gumbo.
I don't know. I was trying to think of a New Orleans drink I could have.
A mint julep?
No, but it's something with alcohol. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, technically.
It's Mardi Gras.
A mint julep.
I'm going to take my top off for some beads.
A mint julep is alcoholic, just not a Disneyland mint julep. That is non-alcoholic. Oh, then
if they've got the mint juleps at Mardi Gras, I will have several.
Yes.
Well, I'll have the one if it's terrible. I'm not having more, but...
Fantastic. Well, you can go and get that inside Finnegan. So, yeah, but... The new floats that are happening, of course, the four new floats. I think they originally announced it as five, and then the Post said they had the Venetian Carnival, Rio Carnival, Oktoberfest, and 4th of July floats. And then once they realized they posted five and there's only four, they had to go back and change that. So four new floats should be cool. All very around-the-world-ish. Like it. Hopefully it fits in with the theme, and they keep like the Mexico and the China float, so that way it really is a worldly thing. And another thing that they are bringing back in terms of Mardi Gras, for anyone out there who has a smartphone, really, I guess I should be saying for the 1% of you.
My friend Kim only has a flip phone and she refuses to get a smartphone. It's a quirk. But at the same time, I send her a picture on the phone and she says, I can't look at that. And I think, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. So for the 1% out there, including Kim, you won't be able to partake in the Universal Orlando Mardi Gras app that they actually released. I believe they released this last year, like right at the last weekend. And the app. So essentially what it is, it uses Bluetooth technology. And as you make your way around to different parts of the park, you collect digital beads. And so there are scavenger hunts for different groups of people based on what you like to do. So so for the family night, you know, there's four different things include ghost stop at Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone and get some food in the French Quarter, have some fun. And if you do this, then, you know, you get to the right area, it picks up on the Bluetooth in the app, and it gives you your digital beats. I know, you just sound like, I want to get in there, and I want to do this.
I don't care for them. If I can't wear them, don't care them. That makes no sense, but...
Well, I think it's a fun way to get people to explore other parts of the park without being stuck in the same place. Just like, I want to, you know, it gives people an incentive. I'll never complain
about the addition of, like, activities to do at that stuff, too. On top of the fact that it's already free, you know, you're getting an actual parade. People are throwing beads out at you. You've got a performance by... sometimes somebody that people all know, and you know, yeah. So like you really can't beat it. That's so, how they're doing this thing. So maybe we'll have to check the app out.
No, we absolutely we'll check the app out, because the big reason why I made a big deal about this last year is because there's four different choices that you can go with. You can go with family night, date night, music lovers, or food lovers. So for the date night one, they say, you know, kick the night off at Emeralds with a meal, a nice romantic dinner from a New Orleans chef. Stop in the French Quarter courtyard and listen to one of the Zydeco bands, or Zydeco. I forget how Corey says it. I'm not from there. I'm ignorant. Listen to one of those. Get some dessert. Beignets. And then if you end the night off by going to Hard Rock Hotel to check out some of that memorabilia that we just spoke about, then all you have to do is show this app and the tour map, and you will receive a free drink at the Velvet Bar.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ever turn down a free drink.
No, I'm actually a little taken back by that.
Yeah, it's a nice little incentive.
Can we do like a diz on like a little, like, can we do that and be like, we made it. Here's our free drink that we got. you and I when we go?
I don't know. But what I do know is that the drink is cannot exceed $14 in value. So that's still
you can get a beer. You could get like a margarita for that.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you absolutely could. With the prices of drinks at Universal, you could get a decent drink out of that one. So I think it's cool. Again, the other ones are like family night. What I said, family night, food lovers, music lovers. And then there's also the chance to get bonus beads. So you got that Bluetooth on. Maybe you came across something that you didn't know was on there. It might pop up in your bonus beads.
There's beads?
Beads.
Bees?
Beads.
Beads.
So, also, you know, they have this part of it where it's a section down at the bottom that says parade. And so while the parade's going, you take a picture of the floats in the parade section of it, and it adds a fun little frame to your picture.
Oh,
it's really, really cute. The picture that they gave to show about it in their blog, it makes it look really cute. So, I'm excited for Mardi Gras. You're excited for Mardi Gras. Hopefully we will be able to get out there this weekend to check it out.
If not, it's going until when?
It's going until the middle of April. But we'll be out there before it. If not this week,
yeah, we're not waiting till April to show you guys.
No. It will be either this week or next week with Dana Ross. Who's next week? Dana Ross.
Dana Ross.
Dana Ross.
Dana Ross.
Diana Rust.
I'm very tempted to go next week. Oh, see? Oh, God, I hate myself for even trying to make a joke out of that.
I was waiting for the crickets to come in.
One of these days that we invest in a soundboard where we can pre-program the buttons so there's just, like, a crickets noise. There's a, you know, like, what was the one I wanted to do the other day? We can have the child catcher noise pre-programmed in there and just so whoever sits back there gets to just, you know, like a Rosie O'Donnell. Whenever she played Tommy, Can You Hear Me?
Well, yeah, we actually have one of those. It's from back in the day. Everyone who's a longtime Diz Unplugged fan would know of the Prizmatron that existed way in the past and made its way off of the show, which was sad. But yeah, so Pete did have lots of sounds. That's how we used to do the intro whenever it was audio. And even in the first start of the video, it was all of that was run off the sound. The sound machine that we had. So,
I want to find it.
I saw it at one point somewhere around here. So it still is around and exists. So maybe eventually we'll have to dust off the Prizmatron and not bring back the prizes too.
I was just going to say, who called it the prize? Did it? Is that like its factory name, or did you name it that because of the thing? I'm getting very like French Stewart eyes in this chair.
So yeah, you do. It's the lights. part of the Prizmatron is that Pete would have, you know, we'd have all these prizes we could give away to people on it. And so, you know, they would pick a number, and he had all the prizes loaded up in the Prizmatron. So then he would pick the number, and it would be a recording of him saying, like, oh, you know, you have just received 2 tickets to Lanuba. And it would all be random. And, you know, every time a number was chosen, then it made its way out of there. So you couldn't choose it again. And a lot of cool stuff on it. Oh, yeah. It was very game show-ish in that way. So that's why it was the Prizmatron, because it was used to give away prizes.
Cool. Well, I'm done talking about that now.
Done talking about it?
Yeah, I think so.
Very cool.
Also, I think, you know, it's hard. This is the first time in weeks I've been able to, like, look at my laptop while we're doing this, and these people in chat are just have been talking about Grease Live for the last 20 minutes, and now it's Doctor Who not being on Netflix anymore, so we've lost everyone.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you all are interested in what we're actually talking about. It's definitely encouraging to know that you're more here to talk to each other and not about stuff we're discussing.
it's nothing like a good old pat on the back. Good job, gang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
good confidence booster here today.
With that, we're going to go out of the buzz, and we're going to talk about a celebration of Harry Potter 2016. I know.
I was hoping you'd still talk so I could hum that underneath.
Okay. Now I'll talk. I was really bummed out because I explained to Rhino before I had this really, I titled this a celebration of Mr. Potter because it was supposed to be a celebration of Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. And I was going to be very clever.
Oh, Mr. Potter.
I was going to be very clever with it, and I lost my chance in being clever because technology hates me today. And so
it does. You're having a rough go of it.
Yeah, instead, we're just going to talk about a celebration of Harry Potter. So the three-day weekend kicked off this past Friday and ran until Sunday. And if you guys weren't following us on Twitter at DizUniversal, then you really missed out on a lot because Rhino and JL just, they went crazy on this event. They They were kicking A and taking names and all that. And so scroll back in. We don't tweet anything purposely. So that way when something big does happen, you can go back and see everything that just happened within the past few weeks. So I highly recommend doing that. If not, you can always go to youtube.com/WDWinfo. Check out a lot of the videos from the event that Rhino put up, a whole bunch of them, like 7 or 8 or 9.
I don't even know. It was like seven by the end of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you did an absolute fantastic job. But a lot of this is we're not going to go into like everything that happened during the weekend because
just the highlights.
Well, it's not really it happened. I think we've talked about a celebration of Harry Potter enough from in the past to everyone knows what it is at this point. It's the fan celebration that happens. Some of the film talent shows up. Some good, some not so good, and there's an expo center with some crap in it, and it's just a place where everyone can come together and celebrate this movie series that they love. It's fantastic for some people. In this case, I, after covering it the past 2 years and the opening of Diagon Alley, and I don't want to sound like stuck up in any way by this, but I just had a little bit too much of a celebration of Harry Potter, and it just felt like I was seeing and hearing the same things over and over and over again. And so this year I chose to send Rhino and JL, of course, and a lot of the reason I wanted Rhino to go was last year he was busy during the celebration weekend, so he didn't get he didn't get to experience it at all. And so that was the first time perspective that we lost last year. We had JL's. But this year, since Rhino was able to be a part of it, we did have JL's,
but I'm going to explain to you something that happened to me at one point during the weekend. And I even brought this up to, who was I talking to? One of my friends, because I was like, this would have been a really cool thing for, like, you to go with me for, and you could have, like, temporarily, like, worked with us or something like that, because I was like, it's hard because I am a very big Harry Potter fan. Like, I read all the books. I love the movies. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen them, watched them. And like I said, I'll go to the park, that area of the park anytime. And, like, I love the minutiae of everything. Like, I love coming up with ideas. Oh, it was Steve Porter. He already works for us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you should have come. You could have been the person to come because he knows Harry Potter. He might not know Universal, but I wouldn't say he's, like, me in the level of, like, I like Harry Potter. Like, you're probably... I probably like it a little more than you. Not more than you, but just we like it in different ways, you know? I get very, like, obsessive. And JL, at one point, leaned over to me. You might be able to hear it in one of the videos, and she goes, "What's that golden ball called again?" And I was like, "I'm going to murder you." But I said snitch, you know? I was thinking about another word that rhymes with snitch, but it was just, it made me laugh. But she likes Harry Potter. I'm not saying she doesn't like Harry Potter, but it's weird sitting there with somebody who she only knows the movies, and she only knows them as of like a year ago. So she was excited in like a different way than I was, you know, and it was just funny seeing it from that kind of a perspective or something like that. But yeah. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to tell you? Want me to tell you how it all went down, or
I'm gonna go with it from a couple different question perspectives on it. Yeah. So obviously you've talked a little bit about how you view Harry Potter, and how much of a fan you are, and I am too. Of course, very different since I did spend a lot of time working there, and
you've also called Hogwarts my home. You've read and. Books and like the movies, and so you have a little bit more of like you're like a student because you work there. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I was a student at Hogwarts, and it's one of the, you know, I'm proud of a lot of things I've done in my life, and a lot of people might not take pride in working at a theme park whenever they did, and I can absolutely say I did. I loved being a part of that. I feel like the people who get to work there They have a connection to the Harry Potter world that, and not calling the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Harry Potter world, just no. The whole universe
yeah.
of Harry Potter that a lot of people can't say, except for the ones who
no,
were
you're...
a part of these elements, like yeah. the movies or...
But even then, like you're like directly connected to it because it's not like it's a place that's... it's licensed out, yeah, but like J.K. Rowling herself walked through those streets. Like she said, this is okay. The costume you're wearing, she said, that's okay for you to wear that costume. Like,
yeah.
And you probably have the closest connection that anybody who didn't work on a film or illustrator the books or anything like that that anybody has
so. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I absolutely agree. I am just that important. But so let's take that aside, and I'm gonna start with the base question for anyone who just happened to plan their vacation during this weekend, unaware of a celebration of Harry Potter was actually happening, mm-hmm. or not caring about it, in terms of the events happening, the activities, how intrusive do you think it is?
I don't think it was very intrusive. It's kind of like, so the panels in Islands of Adventure on that side are held in the Toon Lagoon Amphitheater, and that amphitheater is not used normally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yes. If anybody knows the area, like you go over from Marvel and you take a big like right-hand curve that goes into Toon Lagoon, but it's a very wide-laned area there. So even then, people coming and going out of that theater, it never became disruptive of like, oh, people are trying to get by. People yes. are trying to do anything. And so I'd say, and then in the Universal Studios side, they use the music stage, you know, where they do the concerts for Mardi yeah. Gras and stuff. And if you've ever been there, it's got a very massive lawn. And what they do whenever they're having an event like this is they'll put up the metal fences in the back, and it kind of keeps that area fenced in. And so, you know, you're aware something's about to happen there, but it's trying to like separate the two. So Universal is very conscious about trying to keep that walkway, that street open between Monsters Cafe and the stage, keep it free flowing. So it doesn't become impactful. So I would say that is the area where if you had planned your vacation, had no interest in Harry Potter, that you were probably only felt it a little bit there. Like maybe you were trying to get through or something and you were like, oh, there's a lot of people dressed very funny here. But I just say like, obviously the wizarding areas were very full.
Yeah.
It was like full, like opening day full in Hogsmeade, and Diagon Alley was also very, very crowded. So, you know, other than that though, I think it was just a busy day in the park.
Yeah, well,
it was overly.
I know you just mentioned costumes, so yeah. Of course, like with a lot of the security things that have been happening in terms of theme parks recently, was there a lot of cosplay happening this weekend? Did you see a lot?
Yeah,
were there rules against it?
Yeah, there was like posted rules when you came in the park. There was a thing. It said like rules to follow the costume, and the thing about Harry Potter though is it's so rooted in reality that, you know, if I were to cosplay as like Harry Potter, or I don't know, I have a beard, I'd have to be somebody with a beard, but if I were to cosplay as a character, most likely I'm just wearing clothes, like it's just a regular, well, I'm not naked, but you know, it's just it's you know, if you're going to go as a student in your house, you just have your sweater and your tie and your robes, the robes that you buy that they buy and sell in the park. Basically, you could cosplay as a character and you could buy everything that you need to be that character in the park. So they can't really tell you not to wear any of that stuff. Now, there were some, you know, there was, I think I saw Moaning Myrtle at one point. So she had like a toilet seat over her head.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's always a good one. And one guy, and I believe he might have, it's the same guy who was going to come to Dizzapalooza when we had that in Diagon Alley, for anybody who didn't know, in December. We said no costumes, and I believe that like everybody on our level, they wanted to enforce like no robes or anything too, really, unless you were like under 14 or whatever the Disney rule is. So there was a guy who wanted to come dressed as Gilderoy Lockhart, Harry Potter's Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher in the second in Chamber of Secrets, and I think that guy was there at the park today, but that guy was kind of like, I walked by him once earlier and in Hogsmeade, and he, I don't know if he had asked somebody to take a picture or somebody asked if they could take a picture of him or something like that, but he was very like, I am Gilderoy Lockhart and here I am, and like, you're taking a photo of me, and this was like, he was far too into it, and like, I knew he didn't work there, but later on I saw that guy again, and we were with a friend we made over the weekend, and he asked to take a picture of him, and the guy was like, no, according to Universal Security, I cannot, blah, 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 you know, like, take a photo or anything like that. So they did get on him about, he just took it too far. You know what I mean? You look like you're about to ask me a question.
I'm not about to ask you a question. I just want to point out that I know him. I won't say his last name. His first name's Lon. So
okay.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah. Which is fine. He I'm not saying anything against being a dressing up like that. Like that, I think that should be allowed. It's just kind of, I'm just giving you the warning that if you're going to go in and try and like take photos in places with people, you know, you've kind of got to be careful how you do it. Like I would even say when they go to ask to take the photo, be like, just so you know, I don't work here. I'm just a big fan.
Yeah, I want to say, and again, we're friends on Facebook and just sent a couple messages back and forth in the past. And I believe he said that it was his first time ever cosplaying. And so I think, you know, and that would honestly, for me, if you're cosplaying, I wouldn't think you're just dressing up. I would think you're trying to go into the actual role that you're dressing up as. Otherwise, cosplaying is just dressing up.
It's really good costume.
It's just, yeah. It's just adults dressing up, and I don't want to offend anyone out there, but
I'm not sure about that rule. I don't know if that is the rule or not. Like when you put on the cosplay, like you are that character. I think that you're right though, maybe. Like you're supposed to absorb that demeanor
like
and become that person.
That's the only thing I think that keeps it from making you have questionable life choices. But I'm not going to get into that. Regardless, yes, you are still allowed to go to this event in costume.
The issue was he looks like Gilderoy Lockhart. Like, this guy looks like Kenneth Branagh, you know, a lot. And not even – like, enough that if they were looking for an actor in the thing to play the role to meet and greet with guests, this guy would probably get the job.
I'm going to go ahead and speak again in this. This isn't something that is just related to Universal. This happened all the time at Star Wars weekends with Disney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People would come in, like, really awesome – Darth Vader suits, which obviously they weren't allowed to wear the mask because of that, and just be in really great costumes. But then all of a sudden, when too many people wanted to take pictures with them,
yeah,
that's whenever Disney would step in and say, no, you can't do this.
So just be very verbal about it when somebody asks you that. If you're going to dress up, I would just be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But because there was like one or two Bellatrix Lestrange that I saw that were really good and very convincing that could have been theme park. So as long as you're just, you know, whenever somebody asks to take a photo, that's one thing. But
yeah,
but other than that, like, it's fun to see people. There was like some girl had made the Luna, the lion head that she wears that I love. And you know, there was just some fun stuff. But since Harry, again, since there was no like Voldemorts, because you can't cover get involved face. In that face makeup.
So, going off this, in terms of the panels that you were able to attend, did you, as a huge fan, did you find them interesting? I mean, be honest.
Yeah. Okay. So, not a panel. The first thing we did was the Q&A with the Harry Potter cast, and that involved. And if you haven't seen it, the whole panel is up on our YouTube page, and it had. I can't remember his name. So it had like Ginny Weasley.
It had Bonnie Wright.
Bonnie Wright.
That's her name.
Rupert Grint,
who plays Ron Weasley. It had Matthew Lewis. Lynch.
Matthew. Yeah. Well, I knew everybody except
and
Bonnie
Katie
Wright's name.
Katie Leung.
Yes. Leung.
Cho Chang.
And which I was like, oh, this is cool. This is fun. This is going to be interesting. Other than Luna, I'd say like. The girl, the Cho Chang, she wanted to be there. She was kind of like, she was very soft-spoken. She's very much like that character that you see in the movie is how I imagine. That's her actual personality. And kind of the same with Ivana Lynch. She's just a little more eloquent than she is in the movie, but she's very much that like kind of flowery girl. Like, I don't know if that's the right word, but all very nice. Matt Lewis has some sort of porn star mustache going on with really big mutton chops. And so some of the questions got involved into being like Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. And you know, and if something were to happen, you know, would you just kind of like, would you revisit this world? And it was a little depressing to basically hear these, everybody who up there, I'm sure the oldest one up there is 24 or 25. And they're like, no. It was basically the resounding answer, except for
Ivana,
who was like, in a heartbeat. And, you know, and that's the, you know, that's the thing. Like, it was a little hard to not hear. They didn't say it necessarily in a negative way. They said some really nice things, but the way they were kind of like saying the nice things, like, for me, if you're somebody who like keeps up in the media and pop culture stuff, like, you hear how people discuss when they kind of don't want to be in a role anymore. And they're not always like Daniel Craig threatening to cut their wrists when they don't want to be James Bond anymore. But they'll say like, I think I've, you know, what else could they do with this? And I don't think I could, you know, they're trying to be like, have a no burn bridges exit. And these, and that's what I felt like they were saying. And it was a little like, it was a little sad. It's a little sad because you think to yourself, like, you know, you're, I don't want to like say, but you're like life and existence. Is all thankful to these movies. Like, you'll never have to do anything again.
Yeah, and whenever they're no longer successful at doing it, then they'll start to embrace it again.
Right.
It'll come back around, but right now they just want out of it to try to define themselves in another way. So this, without the film talent, obviously those panels are always going to be interesting. Celebrities, who doesn't love
them?
The other little side ones that you got to see, would you say it's worthwhile to go to hear these things, or would you say it's kind of a snooze?
Okay, I think that to help yourself out, check any research you can do about what the panel is going to involve. Check that out. Like, who's in the panel? So we were doing the Pierre Bohanna, and I heard his name before and said, and like, I didn't really... You know, so I did a little research ahead of time, and I'm like, okay, he was the prop master but he was like the head prop maker or something on all eight of those movies and some other movies that I've enjoyed, like he made the exoskeleton suit for Edge of Tomorrow and stuff like that. So for me as like a film student, and somebody who enjoys that much of film, I was like, oh, I want to go. I want to hear. And I almost went to school originally for like that sort of a stuff, like special effects, makeup, prop making and stuff like that. And so that for me was like, this is going to be awesome. And it was good. It was interesting. That was a good panel. And then they had a fun little like surprise where Matt Lewis came out, and the best part was when they showed how Matt Lewis pulled the Sword of Gryffindor out of the sorting hat in the last movie. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Like, it was a practical effect. And I thought it was just collapsible blade, but that's not what it was. So it was kind of neat. Like, for me, I was like, oh, that made this worth it. I wish there had been more of those moments. But I feel like sometimes they're afraid to alienate certain people from coming or something. But that one was good. Like, you know, and again, I had done some research because I wasn't just like, oh, they're going to talk about whatever. Like, you have to know – what was the other one I went to? It had the two guys – and it was bringing the Wizarding World,
bringing the films to the theme parks.
Yeah, and that one was okay. It seems like it would be really interesting. Like one guy didn't really seem like, if you watch the video on YouTube, the one on the left, I can't remember which one's which.
It was Eric Baker and
Eric's the guy with like the beard, right? I think he's the younger looking one of the two.
Yeah, the other guy's Matt, from Mike? Creative.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
The creative guy seemed more into, like, I kind of wanted to hear more about his job. The other one didn't really, like, he didn't really seem like he was actually too involved in it. Like, he was more like a paper guy than anything else, than, like, how do we create these things? And that, for me, what I was hoping for, I don't know. It what's really cool is that that panel, though, they opened it up for a Q&A session. So it's kind of like the fans can make it whatever they want to make it.
Exactly.
You know? So, and that's a good thing to keep in mind when you go to these two, is that you're going to have, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you to actually get to ask some of these questions that you want to ask.
Yeah. So the expo, I know just based off of seeing it on Twitter and such that it was getting ridiculous amounts of long lines up to, I saw at one point it was up to a 180 minute line to get into the expo center. I know you had a little bit more priority access of it being there as media. Was there anything worthwhile to go into the Expo Center? Again, be honest.
I'm trying to think something worthwhile to go in there. I mean, they had the merchandise that was the same merchandise, but it, like we talked about before the show, it was your exclusive. You know, the art print was like on the T-shirt, the hoodie. It was a nice hoodie and stuff like that.
Well, they had the making of Harry Potter London tour.
The exhibit was in there, yeah. And I'd say that's really cool because I did the exhibition in New York too when they came, and that's a little different. You know, that's more of the prop stuff. So I'd say like that would have probably been worth it. However, it kind of sucks because you had to wait 45 minutes to get into the expo, but then when you got into the expo, there was another really long line to wait to get into the prop, into the Warner Brothers studio tour.
Yeah.
And like, but I will say if you went in, there was some nice giveaways inside of there. There was, you know, you could get like a little paper tie that had like whatever house you were.
Yeah.
They had the Pottermore, the giant map that showed where all the new schools are. And then, you know, there was a wall in there that it was from Scholastic, and it was "What does Harry Potter mean to me?" And you could sign the wall, and I ended up writing on it. But they were giving out a very nice, big, like a probably at least maybe like a little less than 24x36, next size down poster of
16x20.
Yeah, the Harry Potter illustrated. I think it was bigger than that, but the Harry Potter illustrated edition, like a nice little framed photo. Oh,
very cool.
There. But that, so for me, I was like, I really liked that picture, so it was worth it for me for that.
Yeah. So I believe we do have a clip here to show real quick of the Expo Center for everyone out there. So I'm going to cut to that real quick.
What? Yep, that's how I felt. I couldn't sleep very well that night after, you know. Are you playing the sound again? Because I can't hear it. Oh no, you're just staring at me. Okay. yeah. So,
but you do have a video up there of the expo. So if you want to watch that, go to youtube.com/wdwinfo again to watch it.
What was the name of the designer people?
Amina Lima.
Amina Lima like had a booth there, and I thought they had a lot of props from the movie that were actually really like. This is where like Jenny Lynn and I differ, where I'm like pointing out and being like, "There's Dumbledore's book. There's the three brothers," and she was like, "What's the three brothers? What's the tale of Beetle the Bard?" And I'm like, "I'm gonna slap you, Jenny Lynn. Like, let's go." I wanted to like put her down and just like, you know, do the eye machine and make her watch all 8 movies in a row again.
Yeah. No, I love everything that Mina Lima does. They are brilliant designers. I want to touch on just 2 more things really quick before we wrap up here. First, the tribute to Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there was... it was a nice little... On that Friday night when they started the opening ceremony at the music stage, they didn't like really... I don't think they said they were doing it, but... It's just the first thing, the lights all went out, and they started. And you can watch the video of the video on our page again. But it was a nice little, like, turn to page 394. Like, little clips of him in the movie. And then it said, like, thank you in, like, 10, 15 different languages. And, you know, showed his photo and said, you know, a little tribute to that. So that was very nice that they acknowledged that. And then there was like, an unofficial tribute that happened on... Grimwald Place outside of the apartment, outside of the house, with all the fans gathered and did a little wand raising. I had a little like a clip of it, but it's 10 seconds, so I can't really show you, and you can't hear anything. So it was a nice thought, though. Very good. Nice. So
just wrapping up here, in terms for your first time, do you think it was interesting for first timers? And based on what you saw, would you go again next year? To if you weren't working for it, would you go next year as a fan to try to get back into more of it?
See, I don't know. That's where I kind of came down to it. Is that it? I was talking to Jenny Lynn about it too. Is that it's hard because there's no like Disney event to really compare this to, and there's no other real theme park event like this that does it. So I very much enjoy that they have this. With that said, like, I think they're trying to make it like a Comic-Con or Mega-Con or whatever, like a convention.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't, because it's so large, I guess, like the theme parks are so large, it doesn't quite have that same kind of caught up in it. I honestly think that Universal should allow how at conventions they have like outside people set up booths or something like that. Like they should bring in more of Potter community into it and see what they can do with like MuggleNet or something like that. And if they did that, I think this thing would be 100% worth going to. I thought the party they did on Friday night, they had an, if you'd gotten the all access thing, they
the exclusive had, vacation package.
Yeah. So it was you, they had Diagon Alley open to you and you got, it was like what we did for Dizzapalooza. So it was all the butterbeer and ice cream you could eat or drink. And I really wish I had my camera going at one point because the guy, I was in line for the ice cream. And when I was in there, the guy, like six or seven people in front of me, he was like, I'm going to get this ice cream and this ice cream. And he was just excited. He was just excited to be there. And then he was like, do you do annual pass holder discounts or whatever? And he was like, here. And the guy was like, no, this ice cream is free. And the guy was like, what? You're kidding. And he was like, his life had just, he was already, you could tell, really enjoying himself. And I was like, man, that guy didn't even know the ice cream was free. And that guy was just like, this is the best day of my life. Like, he was so happy. And I don't know, that was a nice moment for me. But they also had like chips and hummus, which was really weird randomly about on carts and stuff. But I thought that party was cool. Like, that was a really cool event. So I guess if you're a big fan of Harry Potter, you're planning it coming at that time of the year, then I would say maybe scoot your vacation over to get involved in one of the two of these days. But don't feel like you have to come and be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday for it. Pick a day, Friday or Saturday, and I would say like, that's my day. I'm going to go and I'm going to participate in my Harry Potter stuff and then go when it's over and enjoy yourself, you know, on like Monday or something like that.
Very good. Well, thank you again, Rhino, for going and covering all that and coming back with some great videos. So everyone out there who's interested into it, again, for the third time, please go check out youtube.com/WDW info to see all of the amazing work that Rhino and JL did this weekend. So with that, that's going to wrap us up for this week. I want to thank everyone for going through this with us, just like you do every week. And make sure if you want to have any more information to anything that we talked about today, head to our show notes page at disunplug.com. Click the blue universal part. That will guide you to everywhere you need to go for anything about the Universal Edition podcast and also all the other podcasts that are a part of the Disunplugged podcast network, as well as our contact if you ever want to email us and send us anything. We're getting really close to being able to do another email show here soon, but we're up to two. Once we get to three, we feel like we could fake it enough. So if you want to send us anything, just of course disunplug.com, go there, you'll find the links to all that. Make sure, if you didn't hit it yet, I said it last week, I'm gonna say it again, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button if you liked it. If you didn't, everyone go hit the thumbs down button and, you know, just make us look awful. It's fun. I do it all the time to people. They love it. And also make sure you're subscribed to us on YouTube, youtube.com/disunplugged. That's where all our shows are. And again, subscribe to youtube.com/WDWinfo so you can see all the creative videos that we're putting up and all our theme park videos. And then also, while I'm at it, subscribe to us on iTunes if you're not yet. If you're listening out there, do it. It's worth it. Promise. And make sure you're following our social media pages. Again, you missed out on everything this weekend if you weren't following us on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. So again, thank you very much to everyone out there. We will be back next week, hopefully with an intro and an outro and Jenny Lynn on the Disunplugged Universal Edition. So we'll see. Can't promise you anything, but we'll see what happens. But thank you again, and we will see you next week.